We're going to turn for a short time to the book of John in chapter 5. John chapter 5, and we'll begin reading. Let's break into the story at verse 15. John 5 and 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than thee, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. We trust God will bless the reading of his word this afternoon. You'll find as you read through the Gospel of John, there are about 35 different references to my Father that are found in the Gospel. My Father, the words of the Savior. We also find that it prompted two very different responses from those who heard it. If you look back in chapter 2, it's the first reference to my Father, and there the Savior is in the temple, and he says, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And we find there again the two different responses. There were the disciples that heard it, and they were impressed, and they remembered the scripture of old that would speak of the zeal of the Lord. And so they were reminded of the zeal and the holiness of Christ. But then there were the Jews, and they listened to his words, and they were questioning his authority and by what authority he had done this thing. And so we've come now to the second reference in the Gospel of John in chapter 5. And it's in chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And so the second reference, chapter 5, is going to stir up the hatred of the Jews against the Savior. And in fact, we would know that this formed really the basis of their accusation against him in plotting his death. In John chapter 19, that he made himself the Son of God. And so he made himself equal with God. That was their claim in rejecting him and in desiring that he would be put to death. There are really two parts, I believe, into their rejection of the Savior and his claim as to my Father. The first one we would think of in relation to the fact that they did not believe that a mere man could claim to be the Son of God. And for that we can turn to John chapter 10, another reference to my Father. The Savior has spoken of eternal security in my Father's hand. And he goes on to speak of the fact that my Father and I are one. And the Jews would take up stones to kill him. And the Savior would say, "Why do you take up stones to kill me?" And I say, "Because thou, being a man, makest thyself as God." And so they did not believe that a mere man could be God. And they also did not believe that this Jesus of Nazareth, could be one, the self-proclamation that he could be and call God my Father. And so they were willingly ignorant of the signs and the proofs that were laid before them. And so if there were those that heard these words, "My Father," and it stirred up their hatred, there are also those that heard the words, "My Father," and it gave to them peace and security. Think of the almost a final reference in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 20, the words of the Savior, I have not yet ascended to my Father. And he spoke of the fact that he would go unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. And it would no doubt have brought peace to Mary Magdalene that day as she heard the words of my Father. So in the structure of John, you will know that there are seven different signs or seven miracles that are brought before us through the Gospel. And we have read, but in the beginning part of chapter 5 is the third sign, the healing of the lame man. Chapters 5 to 12 form a section for us of the rejection of the Savior. And the Lord is going to be rejected in the many and the varied ways that He is revealing Himself to the people. And so we have in chapter 5, He is rejected as the Son of God. Moving on, He is rejected as the bread of life in chapter 6. Chapter 7, He goes up to the feast, and He is rejected as the Christ, the Messiah, the Sent One. Chapter 8, it is the I Am who rejected. And then chapter 9, it's the light of the world. Chapter 10 is the Good Shepherd. And chapter 11 is the resurrection and the life, the raising of Lazarus. And then in chapter 12, we have the corn of wheat that would fall into the ground. And again, He is rejected. So Christ is rejected in chapters 5 to 12 in the many ways that He is revealing Himself to them. This third sign is the healing, the miraculous healing of this man on the Sabbath day, on the man who was lame. And now the Lord is rejected as the Son of Man. So verses 1 to 15, we find the Son of God is making whole. That is verse 15, it was Jesus which had made him whole. And so it is the man that is healed. We read verses 16 to 30, and it is the Son who is now working. And it is the working of the Father and the Son together. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And the end of the chapter, verses 31 to 47, it is the Son's witnesses, and the witnesses to the Son. And so beyond the witness of Christ and the words of Christ, which we believe, in that final section of chapter 5, we read there is the witness of John the Baptist, and the witness of the works of the Savior, the witness of the Father Himself, the witness of the Scriptures, and the witness also of Moses. And so the Son is making whole, the Son is working, and the Son's witnesses. We're going to focus just for the remainder of the meeting this afternoon on the section before us in relation to my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Focusing really on the equality, the unity of the Son with the Father. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. He spoke of my Father equality. And you look at verse 18, it really formed the basis of their hatred against Him. Because when they understood those words that Christ spoke to them, they understood it as He was making the Father His own, making God His own Father. And so it is the answer of the Savior to the question of their authority. If you look back and you remember the story in chapter 5, the man is healed and he doesn't know it's the Savior. And he goes out and he takes up his bed and he walks, and the Jews see him carrying his bed on the Sabbath day, in their minds breaking the Sabbath. And so they ask him, by what authority or who has given you this right or this privilege to carry your bed on this Sabbath day? And it's likely this man would not have known the scripture from Luke 6, that the Lord Himself said, the Lord is the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. But not knowing who it was who had healed him, he recognized this very true fact, that the one who had power to heal him, the one who had the ability to forgive him, was therefore going to have the authority to direct my life. And so he had the authority to direct me to take up my bed and walk, even if it was against the traditions of men. And so the Jews then wanted to kill the Savior. And we read that they sought to slay him, verse 16, because he had broken the Sabbath. We all know the Jews and the Pharisees were concerned with that which was outward. And the Savior Himself would accuse them of going out and rescuing their animal that had fallen into a pit on the Sabbath day for own personal loss, that they would be prevented. But here they would deny, and on many occasions they would deny the healing of their fellow man on the Sabbath day. And so the Jews wanted to kill him. The answer of the Savior confronted them really with just who he was. He said to them, they questioned his authority. How did he do this? And the answer of the Savior was, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And so they were worried about the Sabbath. And now the Lord teaches them really who He was and what that relationship was between Himself and God, and what that really, and that really, when they were setting themselves against the Son, they were setting themselves against the Father. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. It really is, it is a present and continuous. The Father is working. He is continuing to work. And I am working, and we are continuing to work together. Christ is doing the work of the Father. He is, and therefore, He has the power, and the authority is His to choose. The implication that the Savior is bringing before them, and obviously the implication that they understood for themselves, was that the power that is being displayed, the power of the Son of God, is really the power of God. The miracle that has been just shown, the miracle of this lame man walking, is from the Father. And so now together, the Son and the Father have been working together, and by this, this man has now been made whole. And therefore, their hatred is increased even further. Verse 18. And so there, not only the Sabbath is broken, but there is one who now is claiming equality with God, who is claiming God as his own Father. And so for this section, there is the healing, and there is their hatred. And the Savior is going to express the relationship between himself and his Father. And there's going to be the increased hatred of the Jews. And now the Savior, from verses 19 to verse 30, is going to give to them and explain to them the relationship between himself and his Father. And so the answer of the Savior is addressed against their unbelief. Is it directed against their unbelief of his equality and his unity with the Father. So in these verses, in verses 19 down to verse 30, let us point out the topics that we have in those verses, and as there is time, we'll return to some of them. Again, it is the proofs of his deity, the proofs of his equality and his unity with the Father. Look down at these verses, and verse 19, we'll see there he does nothing of or from himself, a dependence upon the Father. Verse 19 as well, what he seeth the Father do, there is communion with the Father. Verse 19, therefore doeth the Son likewise, the unity with the Father. Verse 20, there is a relationship of the Father and the Son. The Father loveth the Son. Verse 20 as well, there's going to be further revelation. He will show him greater works than these. Verse 21, quickeneth whom he will. The giving of life is the prerogative of the Father and the Son. Verse 23, there is the honor and praise that is given. And there is the receiving of praise, the Father and the Son. Verse 24 and 25, him that sent me. And so there is the granting of eternal life. Verse 26, he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. And so now there is not only the possession, the granting of eternal life, but there is a possession of life. Verse 27, hath given him authority because he is the Son of Man. There is the judgment that has been given to the Son. By the time we come down to verse 30, we have come back full circle again to verse 19. And there is now dependence. I can of mine own self, I can from mine own self do nothing. And so all of these verses, the summary is verse 30. Among all the works that are done, among all the relationship and the proofs of the deity of our Savior, he is going to be dependent still upon God and upon my Father. And the summary we might say over his life are truly the words of the end of verse 30. I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So these statements show to us the quality and the reality of his deity that was absolutely true. The Savior is showing to the Jews there that day that all that they knew of the Father, all that they knew of God, and all that they knew to be true of the attributes of God are now being displayed in the Son, in the man who is standing before them. There is a working together of the Father and the Son. Is the Father honored? So should the Son. Is the Father the possessor of divine life? Well, so is the Son. Is the Creator the judge of all the earth? Well, so it's been given to the Redeemer, and he's going to be the one to judge the world. It's coming then to verse 19, just for a few moments, 19 to 21. He did nothing of or from himself. And so his life, his works, his words were all that were not at the prompting of his own will. It was the Father's direction. Consider the unity that was brought before them that day. The Father shows. The Son sees. The Father works. And there's greater works that are going to be accomplished. And how is it going to be done? It is the Father that loves the Son. Greater works. Of the seven works, there are seven signs that are given for us in the Gospel of John. In the previous chapters, we'd have read the turning of the water to wine in chapter 2. There is a son that is healed in the following chapters. And we have read the third sign of the healing of the lame man. We're going to go on, and if you read through the chapters of John, you would find there's going to be the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord's going to walk upon the water. There's a blind man that is healed. There's a raising of Lazarus. And truly, you might say there are greater works that are being accomplished in these signs that are given before our view. But I'm wondering if it also would include the spiritual work, the spiritual works of Christ. Verse 21, we read there, the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them. The Son quickeneth whom He will. And so the giving of life, the making alive, the spiritual life that is given to all who will receive it, passing from death unto life. Perhaps even including the resurrection of Christ Himself from the dead. Greater works than these, that men may marvel. Is it not the words of Ephesians chapter 1? By the working of His mighty power. And so it is God who quickens us together with Christ. Yet it is the Son who gives unto them eternal life. And so it is not possible, as it might say, to separate the Father and the Son. They're working together. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. There is that continuance together of one and the other. There is no separation between them. And yet that was exactly what stirred up the hatred against Christ, the claim that He was the Son of God. Moving on then, verses 22, 27, and 30 really have the same topic, really, of responsibility. There is a responsibility that was given in judgment. Verse 27, He had given Him authority because He is the Son of Man. Verse 30 speaks of His judgment, and it is just. There is something unique in relation to the Son of God, that He is also the Son of Man. And as that perfect man, He will then be able, and He will judge righteously. The standard of the Son is the standard of the Father is the standard of the Son. And even in the divine love of God, divine love does not remove the need for judgment. The Son is going to be the judge. I believe you'll not find in the Gospel of John that the Father judges. The Father is one that loves. And in John, it is the Son who has been committed unto Him to judge the world. Think of the verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, where we read, there is a day appointed in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. And so God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world. And the judge of the world will be the one whom He has ordained. It is His own Son. And what is the proof for us that this will take place beyond the Word of God? Well, the end of that verse says it is because He has raised Him from the dead. There is one who is alive. The Savior is alive, and therefore He is the one who will be the judge. This one has been raised back from the dead, and I believe that ties us back to the greater works than these, that men may marvel. They're going to see the work of God. They're going to see the work of the Father. They're going to recognize it as the work of the Son. And men are going to marvel as they see what God has done through the Son of God. Verse 23, I found it interesting, the honor that is mentioned there. There are a number of different words that are recorded for us in relation to honor. And here is the meaning of it is in relation to the assessing of value. The Lord reminded them in two ways. To honor the Father is to honor the Son. To not honor the Son is to not honor the Father. There is unity and praise that is due to the Godhead and to deity. And so the Father and the Son cannot be separated. And you remember the Jews often claimed to honor the Father. They claimed that God was their Father, and they claimed that the Father was one that they would honor in their lives and the things that they would do and the sacrifices that they would sacrifice. But they chose not to honor the Son. And so the Lord showed them that when they were not honoring Him, it was the Father that they were rejecting as well. Interesting, the same word is used in Matthew chapter 27 in relation to the betrayal of the Savior. We read there that this was the 30 pieces of silver. It was the price of Him that they valued. The word valued is the same word as honored. It was the assessment that they had given, the honor that they were going to give to the Son, and the honor that they gave to the Father was the price of death, the price of only 30 pieces of silver. What a statement of the rejection that was given to the Son and to the Father. Is the Son honored? So so should be the Father. Again, looking quickly at verses 24 and 25, we often think of them and we've likely used them and quoted them in relation to the gospel, in relation to salvation. But I thought of it as I went through this chapter in relation to the context of what we have and the working of the Father and the Son together. The section of the Father and the Son. I appreciate this context there. Salvation is made possible, as we know, by the Father and the Son. Salvation is the work of God. Listen to the words of the verse. He that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me. There's that working together of the Godhead in relation to the granting of eternal life. It is made possible. Here it is the hearing of the Son, and it's believing on the Father which has sent him. You think of, and the result there then is the giving of eternal life. Think of another verses in John, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, it is there we read that believing on the Son. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The end of the book in John chapter 17, we read that it is the words of the Father that have been received. And so there is that believing on the Son, there is the word of the Father. There is the word of the Son, there is believing on the Father. And there is that unity again that would speak to us of the deity and the equality of the Son with the Father. He is the Son of God, and he is able to give and to grant eternal life to all who would come to him. Verse 26, the possession of life. Not to be understood that the Savior in some way received this life as he entered into the world. He is truly the Son of God throughout all of eternity. And he was one who, as deity, possessed life without beginning and without end. And in that perfect manhood that he displayed here upon this earth, he was one who had life in himself. John chapter 1, in him was life. John 14, he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Father hath given to him to have life in himself. Time is almost gone. The summary of all this then, the dependence of the Son upon the Father. Verse 30, I can do nothing of or from myself. The working together of the Son and the Father proves to us the unity and his equality with the Father. Really, and we see it as well in relation to the submitted will of the Savior. I can do nothing of or from myself. And so it was sufficient purpose in the life of the Savior that he might simply do the will of the Father which had sent him. In relation to the history of the time and the context of the chapter, the Jews would then continue to reject the Savior. The Jews would not listen to the words that had been spoken to them, and they would not continue to hear him and to believe that he was the Son of God. It really hit them, as you might say, in relation to where they had to acknowledge the Savior for who he was. They either acknowledge the Savior as the Son of God, and then they would be responsible to him, or they would continue to reject him and believe that they could go on without him. The Son of God stood in great and direct contrast to those who claimed to be the sons of Abraham in a spiritual sense. You'll see in John chapter 8, there were those who claimed that we have one Father, even God. And the Lord would go on and speak to them and say, you're not of your Father, you're of your Father, the devil. And their manners proved that while they claimed to have one Father, and while they claimed to be of God, and claimed to be the sons of Abraham living by faith, there were those who would reject the Son of God and his life here upon this earth. In chapter 8, it is the Savior who is rejected as the great I Am. The I Am has come, and they were the ones who are going to reject him, even as they reject him in John chapter 5, as the Son of God. So there was only one who then would perfectly do the will of his Father. Only one who would do and be able to say that God was my Father. And so may we continue then in this short look in John chapter 5, as to continue to appreciate the deity and the eternal sonship of our Savior. He was the one who was sent by the Father into this world as the only begotten Son. He was the one who is able and has shown to us the Father. He's the one who reveals to us my Father. And we look forward to a day when we're going to be in heaven. We'll know what it is to have him. And he would say, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father. And we're able to have that relationship with God and know what it is to be those who are saved and to know our sins forgiven. And we can be brought into that family and that relationship with God himself.